Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And only on February 21st.
That's right. A beautiful February 21st.
Well, kind of, sort of. But, you know, there was a news item that came across my phone.
I don't approve of news.
They are expecting snow in the Hollywood Hills.
Wow.
Because it's going to get that cold today.
Enough to go skiing? Can I take the kids down and go
Probably
skiing?
Probably not.
Just sitting there in the corner with our ski hats on,
maybe
little ball on top.
One little snowball. You know?
Michael, great to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Obviously, as you said, here it is February 21st, and we have a really exciting show today, don't we?
We do today, Andrew. We will be speaking with three of the talents behind the independent film Wake, which made its world premiere at the acclaimed Heartland Film Festival.
That's right. It was also included in the Hawaii International Film Festival and the Ridgefield Independent Festival, several other upcoming festivals as well, and it did get into Method Fest. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
I love Method Fest. Great films there, and boy, do they know good talent when they see it. So that's a major feather in your cap. That's awesome. Michael, shall we go ahead and say hello to these amazing people?
Yes, let's greet our guests, ladies and gentlemen. Where are we? Well, yes, we... Sorry. You jumped on me there. They'll be telling us all about their exciting new film. Please welcome Mindy Crist,
yes,
who is the star of this motion picture with Cirrus Miracore, who is our very dear friend, and our very other dear friend is the man that used to host this program.
Who is he? Tell me.
Paul Strolley.
I'm sitting in his chair. I love that man.
Oh my goodness. OMG.
That's right. Now, Paul is joining us on the phone. Paul, how are you?
I am good. Are you hearing me? Because I'm a little choppy on my end.
I'm sorry to hear that. We got a little bit of a strange connection. I think there may be a slight delay, but we hear you fine.
Yeah.
And you sound great as always. Hey, this piece is amazing. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. It's the very definition of collaboration, and Cirrus Miracore and Archana. When we started Miracore, after we had done the short films, we were just sort of looking around for properties that would make a good low budget feature for up and coming film production.
Wow! Well, I'm gonna
cross Wake, and just really happy with it.
I love that. I loved watching it, and I loved the combination of what you guys are together, a great group of filmmakers and a really wonderful project.
Well, and you know, too, it looks so beautiful, this film. It doesn't look like the typical, people think this anyway, that you, when you're in that circuit of festivals, that it may not be looking like the real motion picture that would be in the movie theater.
Interesting.
But this one is so beautifully made.
It is.
And you can tell that there was a lot of love and care in scouting the locations and the sets and, of course, the actors involved. One of them not here with us in the studio today, but the great James Denton.
Talent, no doubt about it.
Yeah, ladies, hold on to your pearls. he's a lovely guy, and he does such a great turn in this film. It's not the ordinary role for him that you see him on television. I certainly remember from Desperate Housewives and other things that he's done. And
it's funny that you say that, Michael. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I don't know if I am because of the delay, so or odd. But Jamie had said that when he read the script initially, and it was also Jamie's wife, Erin, had said the same thing, that you fall into a certain niche on television when you're on the most popular television show for 6 years running.
Right.
There's a certain expectation, and that's why Jamie really embraced this, because he just saw something that was a little different. It's a very unusual role for him, a far quirkier role used to seeing James Denton play. And then also with Joe Coy, the great comic Joe Coy, who's mm-hmm. This is his first feature film, his first acting role, really, in an
wow.
independent in a film at all, and he also burns it down. And that Joe especially could hold his own with actors of Mindy's caliber and Jamie's caliber, and of course Paige Searcy and Carolyn Locke. to the ensemble thing that we created here.
Well, it's a great one. Now, I should go ahead and we should make Paul be quiet while we tell the world about how good he is, because I've got a proper intro
that I want
to
read.
Now, Paul, I know on the other end of this phone you're going to be getting embarrassed. I just want everybody to know that Paul is turning red while we tell everybody about the amazing work he's been booking over these last couple years. On the phone, ladies and gentlemen.
Hang on a second. I've got to make sure I hit record. Okay, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know him well. You know the voice, and he's certainly a great friend and an amazing part of State of the Arts and our wonderful history here. We are so thrilled to welcome our first guest, who is not only a talented artist, but also this great, great friend of the show.
Among many others, some of his television credits include Empire, Chicago PD, Malcolm in the Middle, and The Untouchables. Mm-hmm. Some film credits include Only the Dance Can Save Us, The Beating, which was amazing, mm-hmm. and The Real Whatever.
He was nominated for an Ovation Award for Best Solo Performance and an LA Weekly Award for Paul Strolley's Straight Up with a Twist, which if you haven't seen, check out his website. It's a great, great piece. It enjoyed over 1,000 performances nationwide, including twice extended off-Broadway run. He is also a resident artist at the Purple Rose Theater.
In addition to writing for Los Angeles Magazine, the Chicago Tribune, New York Blade Magazine, and the LA Stage Alliance. He is also a playwright. Some of his works include Straight Up with a Twist, as we just talked about, Cheese Louise, My Dinner with Arlecchino. Did I say that right? Arlecchino. And A Jukebox for the Algonquin.
That's right. We are so proud to count him as an extraordinarily gifted performer and former co-host of our very own State of the Arts, and the man who sat in this very chair. The chair was slightly lower because he's much, much taller than I am. But he was across from you, Michael, for 6 wonderful years, wasn't he?
He was. He is now based in Chicago, and his tremendous work in the arts and continues in the Windy City and throughout the country, most recently including his current project as a producer and appearing in the role of Frank in the independent film Wake. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, the incomparable Paul Strolley.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so
Cirrus is even red.
And I'm so glad that I'm tall, because now it will make it far easier for the tattoo artist to get all of that onto my back.
Resume on your back. I like it. Well, man, you are certainly somebody with broad shoulders who can carry that kind of work. We miss you being in L.A., but I got to tell you, I'm moving to Chicago because your career is just flying out there. Tell me how you got involved with Wake and kind of the origins of this amazing project.
Well, it all started with two theater companies. It started with Sea Glass Theater in L.A., mm-hmm. and then before that was the Purple Rose Theater company that you mentioned in Chelsea, Michigan, that was founded by Jeff Daniels about 27 years ago. And when Kimberly Van Leeuwen and I were managing director and artistic director of Sea Glass, we would always look at other theaters that we weren't in direct competition with to find good pieces of, good plays, quite frankly. And we followed the Purple Rose, and we would see what they were doing. And we came across this play by Carrie Krim called Wake. Hmm. And we just loved it, and we produced it in South Pasadena. It was the most successful play in the history of Sea Glass Theater in our 5-year history of that theater company. And, of course, became great friends with Carrie Krim through that. And as I mentioned earlier, Cirrus and Archana and I were looking for a piece to make a feature, a low-budget feature. And this was very amenable to a low-budget feature. It's about an agoraphobic woman. So just by that definition, you know you're not going to have a lot of locations and a smaller cast. And we were looking for things that had strong roles for women and sort of a quirky, dark comedy. And so we took that play, and we became friends with Carrie Krim, and then Cirrus really Cirrus advised Carrie in the process, and she really turned it into a wonderful screenplay. She changed it quite a bit. She wanted to sort of morph the play Wake anyway, so this was a great opportunity for her to turn it into a new work that we're really proud of.
That's fantastic.
Well, you should be. Because it's captivating.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, your performance, even though you're in the motion picture, you have a very important role to play. And you do it so well, Paul. You really do.
You know, Michael, I'm the go-to guy for everyone's favorite aging rockabilly funeral home employee.
That's right. You got the market cornered.
Well, I'm the first guy you call for that.
Really? Do you know a guy? Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. All right. Well, it's lovely to talk to you. We miss you here out in California and at State of the Arts every once in a while. We will talk about you, even though you don't know that.
I miss you all, too. And I'm sorry. Forgive me for stepping on you, but I can never tell if I'm getting through. Miss you guys as well, and look forward to being out there for Method Fest at the end of March. So we'll be at the premiere. We don't have our exact date at the end of March, but we will have that soon. So
super.
Really looking forward to it. And thank you both so much. I should hand the mic over to you all so that you can interview those two lovely people sitting in your studio there. But thank you so much for helping us to spread the word about the film. It's really appreciated.
Our pleasure.
Well, hey, we're proud of you, but even without that, man, this artistically is just a great, great piece, and congrats on all the great stuff you're doing. Come see us next time you're in town, you promise?
I promise. I'll be there with bells on. Thank you both.
Miss you, buddy. Bye-bye.
He has bells, too.
It's all he ever wears. Sometimes he gets kicked out of places because all he's wearing is bells. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul
Strolley. Got him arrested
Strolley,
a few times.
What an amazing talent, Paul. There we go. Oh, they love him. They love him here at State of the Arts. And those fans have been standing here just waiting for Paul to come. They never clap when I'm on the show. It's just for Paul. It's all for Paul. It's amazing. We also have two amazing people here who are involved with this amazing film. Cirrus, we talked to you a little bit. And Mindy, hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Hello, hello.
So good to see you. So you can tell me the truth now. What's it like to work with Paul? He's not listening anymore.
It's a dream come true.
I see he got to you too early.
You have to quiet the bells on set. Other than that, you're okay.
I've worked with him a number of times. That's absolutely true, unfortunately. Good looking, talented, and fun to work with. I don't like him. Never have. Not from the very beginning.
And he makes you feel so short.
Yes.
Very tall dude, no doubt about it.
So do you think before we get into talking to our guests, we should thank our sponsor?
You don't want to get kicked off the air, do you?
I don't think so.
You
not
want us
today.
To be able to be on the whole show.
Not
let's
today.
Do it. It's a great idea. Obviously, we will be talking with them more in just a moment, but let's do thank them, Michael.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank Princess Cruises for coming on board. Anybody?
On
no.
board.
Okay, I was presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2019. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide. Obviously, Michael, now this is something we should say.
And do you think they do that via
17 modern vessels?
Yes.
I believe they do. But did you hear Princess Cruises has some amazing announcements coming this year? I don't know if we can say them here on the show.
Oh, really?
But yeah, you got to go check out news about their ships and some of the things they're doing. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, good stuff. So obviously visit Princess Cruises
for
more than
a reason. Well, that's a good thing to know. Mm-hmm. So, and ladies and gentlemen, you, our listeners, can experience the next wave in vacation travel, and at the end of each.
It's a new word.
It's
a good word.
Okay. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships.
Yeah.
So make sure to enter every month for your chance to win. Very simple. Come to latalkradio.com, Channel 2, State of the Arts, our page. You'll see the logo for Princess. You click on it, and you are registered. And you can do that, as I said, many times. It is a gift from Princess with a value of $5,000.
And we should say Princess Cruises is the state-of-the-art trip anyways,
that's
and this
it.
Is the best room among the best. So that's a pretty cool thing to have there.
Yeah.
So obviously, Michael and our guest here, we're excited to talk about a lot of things, but we should take a moment here and acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts, and as always, we encourage you to check out one of the best photographers in Los Angeles, Carrie Ann Francis at
yes,
CA Francis
we love you,
Photo.
Carrie.
That's right, no doubt about it. Great sponsors.
We're so privileged, ladies and gentlemen, to have these two amazing resources for the arts. So we are sincere when we say check out Carrie Ann and also our Princess, because they do keep us afloat.
That's wow, that's double puns.
Again, anybody?
Nicely
played. I got one.
Nicely done.
The wave of excitement just washes over us, doesn't it?
Oh, really? Now we're really reaching now.
Michael, obviously, we've got a fun film to talk about today, and we get to dedicate the whole show to this piece. I want to know your first thoughts when you first saw it. What was your first reaction?
Well, I had been associated with the play, actually, and had been representing it for public relations
when
and publicity.
Seaglass did
when
it, Seaglass correct?
Did
yeah, of course.
It, and had the pleasure of meeting Carrie Krim at that point, and it was in the perfect setting out there in Pasadena, and at a lovely theater, actually. And it was very well received, as Paul said, and I just kind of fell in love with it. It was such an interesting, different piece.
A modern piece. It's a decidedly modern portrayal.
And one, about a subject matter that is not spoken about,
That's exactly right.
Too often, or certainly in the general public's kind of way. And I do think that the condition of the main character is something to be taken seriously, and how it's presented in the play and how it's presented in the movie is a way into understanding that there's hope in getting out.
Yeah.
And it may be a longer journey than one anticipates, but I think that, to me, that was a message that was really important. I personally actually have anxiety with claustrophobia and those kinds of things, of being in small places for too long or in a place that, any place that I can't control, actually. And so I'm always heavily medicated. No.
That's how I've made it through life. What are you talking about?
I actually have the assistance of it, but I don't abuse that, and nor would I ever. But it certainly took a while for my doctor and I to find out the medication that was right for me, personally speaking, and more so, getting into the right therapists and speaking, frankly about it and finding a way out and reading a lot of books. So, you have to take the initiative. You have to be ambitious and not want to have that kind of a condition as such the star of this film, the star character of the film has, and want to get out.
No doubt.
Yeah. Want it to be letting you live the life that you're supposed to be living.
You're obviously very open about talking about that, and I appreciate that so much, because if we're not talking about it, then it becomes taboo and it becomes hidden, and that's kind of what this film says, is that's a danger. That's something that can happen to any of us, even with the slightest phobia. It can grow and it can change, and it really does affect you very, very deeply if you don't have somebody to help you. And as artists, if we're not evoking emotion and trying to get people to help one another, then we're not doing our job. So I thought this film did a great job of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the play does as well. But now it's come to life on the big screen. And I found it as enjoyable as I did in live, that it was just more dimensional in the film. You can go to so many more places.
I want to give the web address here real quick, because this is a great piece. And if you want to follow them, find out about the amazing film festivals they're doing. The name of the film is Wake, W-A-K-E. And you can go to www.wake.com. themovie.com. You're going to find some great information. You can also look up this amazing cast, because you're going to be seeing a lot of them coming up, and you certainly will recognize them from other projects as well.
Well, I am one to, you've just recently seen it. I saw it a few months ago.
I actually just watched it for the first time just about a week and a half ago.
Did you?
Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. And did you share that with your wife?
I did. Yeah. Well, she loved it as well. In fact, it, you know, it's interesting. We kind of watch everything together, but it's interesting to see kind of how different people react. I think there's kind of a stillness when you realize the importance of it, but there's also a lot of fun in that as well. There's a lot of humor, a lot of jokes, and a lot of good stuff, which I love about that too. So, again, you want to check out www.wakethemovie.com. You can find out some great information.
Anytime.
Fantastic.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, thank you both for that. Fantastic. We're so glad you guys enjoyed it.
These are very courteous guests. Most people just tell me to shut up because they have something they want to say. No. I like it. These are good people. Are good people.
I would say I think it would be to the benefit of the lead character if she was medicated.
And,
that would have been a good road for her.
Yeah. Well, anyone like that character, you just heard it, then take the advice of Mindy Crist, who portrayed her.
That's right. But the advantages of finding the right medication is so important for so many people. And when we struggle with stuff like that, if you're not searching for options, it just gets worse and worse and worse, doesn't it?
And if you don't have support.
That's
true.
If
you're locked in, as you know, she is, she's locked in a house with her mother and her daughter for 3 years.
That's absolutely right.
And that will keep you from.
And the job.
Yep.
That she's doing is certainly one that is so irregular. That just kind of adds another layer of drama onto her own problems.
Well,
right?
When she feels more at home with the dead than she does with the living.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think that's a little inverse from the rest of us.
It's usually depends on the day.
I mean, I will say even shooting in the day that we had to shoot in a working funeral.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Embalming room, yeah.
Was maybe the most uncomfortable day I've ever had to shoot. It was really difficult.
I can imagine. Yeah. That's is it really true? I mean, are there tags on people's toes and things like that?
There was no dead people in the room when we were in the room.
All right.
Thankfully. I don't know if I could have handled that.
Yeah.
I may have needed to be medicated if that was the case. But, you know, the feeling in the room is certainly there. The smell in the room is certainly there.
That formaldehyde,
It was certainly very heavy when we were there.
Yeah, the instruments were all present. Yeah. There was a lovely man who ran it, who filled us in on what life was like for him. And really, I have to say that people who do that for a living are kind of like chosen people. There's a real vocation for them. And they bring some real beauty to a part of life that none of us like to talk about too much, but he was wonderful. Yeah.
So if I could just back up just a little bit on the whole thing. So I think what's wonderful, at least for me, and obviously the film was fantastic because I was involved in helping bring it to life, right? But for me, the big thing about the main character and the agoraphobia and the fact that we're set in a funeral home, right, giving away a little bit more about what the film is, those are all backdrops, really, to the main character and what's happening with her inner struggle, right? So it's not that we're specifically about the operations of a funeral home. That sort of is happening in the background.
Right.
Her agoraphobia is happening in the background. Her relationships with her family are really what's at the forefront, and what's happening in her inner struggle, both inward and outward. Those are the main pieces here. And so I think that's what makes it really kind of unique, right? There's a lot of interesting things happening in a very enclosed space, but it's not about, oh, I can't go outside. That's not particularly about the film. And it's not about, oh, I'm working with dead people. It's really the whole sort of circular thing and the different ways that person is viewed and the way that they're viewing themselves and the things that's happening with the character that Mindy plays.
I think that the drama is that those things are so polarized.
That's right.
And so it gives this backdrop to the relationship between these three women that is really heightened.
Yeah. Tell us, just give us the basic plot so our listeners can follow what we're talking about here.
You want to give a shot?
No, you're a filmmaker. Give me a shot. I can talk character all day long. You can talk plot.
So really, it's about as we mentioned, it's a woman who has agoraphobia, who lives in a funeral home, live-in funeral home.
Right.
About three generations of women.
Right.
And it's really about her journey to getting well. That's really what it is, right? And that journey takes place in terms of many different ways, in terms of the need to get the relationship with her daughter to a better place. The need to get her health and getting over her husband, her previously deceased husband, and really trying to move forward in terms of future romance, future life, getting outside of that house, being healthy for her daughter. It's really about that journey.
Yeah. It starts on her birthday, and it's the 3-year anniversary of the death of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead character's name is Molly, who you play, correct,
yes.
Mindy?
Great. Uh-huh. Yeah. And some intense things that happened in the 10-day period. I think it was 10 days that we decided, 10-ish,
eight days,
that happened between the opening of the film and some movements that she manages to have happen in her life by the 8th day or the 10th day.
Well, the most curious cast member is a life-size male doll named Pedro.
Which is funny because I was second in line for that role.
You were?
I was right up there. Yeah,
you
I was real
didn't
close.
Get it?
The audition was strange. I kept sneezing. That was a problem. It's a little bit of a problem. Yeah. Yeah. Also, they don't like it when you walk in nude. They're don't do that. Get out of the audition.
You're in the wrong part of town. Baby.
This is a fun film because it is about a very serious topic, but there's a lot of humor in this as well. Yeah. And it's an absurd situation, obviously, too. But it's an entertaining watch because of that, because tragedy and comedy are so closely related, as we've all found out, too. So
how does that character complicate Molly's life?
Well, it's given to her as a gift, as a gag gift from Paul, Sterling, Frank.
Frank, that's right.
And from her mother and her daughter. And it's not one that she appreciates very much, but it's a not so subtle hint at you need to move on. You need to get a boyfriend. You need to get out of the house. Things have got to change. And we're lovingly and in a teasing way telling you it's time to go. But for Molly, it becomes very real. And so for part of the film, he comes to life. Mm-hmm. And so she starts a relationship with the doll, which was not what they intended, but ends up being a way for her to get out of her house and out of the problems she's been stuck in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
Unusual.
And very unusual. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have rom-com elements. We do have dramatic elements, and sort of they
sex
all
with
fuse
blow-up
together,
dolls
think,
elements.
Yeah, yeah, different things. So I think that's sort of one of the things where we do move, I think, fairly successfully in terms of going through all those different phases. But they're all different parts of where Molly, the main character, is at that particular point in time. Right.
Right. So, right. That character is I found that I was rooting for that character the time to be
the
able
blow up
to
doll or me.
I'll let
you two together. That out.
No, actually, your character.
Yes, thank you.
To get out and to be able to free yourself, and perhaps it's because I can identify with it, to some extent, not in the exact same way or with the exact same condition, but that was kind of. When I go to a movie, I want something to hang on to that steers me in the direction that I should be going with the film. And, so I pick up on certain things, and that's one of it. It was a very, very pleasant surprise for me to see the difference between the play, which is, as I said, very good and very entertaining, and then the motion picture, because I think it takes it to the next level, and it supports the play in a big way, but there's certainly new things in the movie.
Yeah.
And that honestly has to be given all credit to Carrie Crown.
Yes, of course.
When I went and watched at Paul's invitation at Sea Glass to see Wink, the play, which you were involved in for PR there, I really was paying attention to it at Paul's sort of suggestion to, could we make this into a feature film? And when I looked at it and I saw it, I saw a few things that we could change to really kind of make it more of a cinematic piece. And then worked with Carrie, I think we were talking earlier, in 2014 we started working. So to Carrie's credit, her ability over multiple revisions, Paul can probably attest to that, right? I mean, for the beating that we did earlier in terms of I directed it, he wrote the beating.
Now, when you say the beating, you mean the movie, not the one you gave Paul individually, right?
Or that came later.
The short film that starred Paul.
Which is another great piece. Yeah. If you haven't checked it out, where can people find that real quick?
That's actually online on Vimeo.
Great.
So, yeah, if you just check Vimeo for the beating, that should pop up. And
it's a great
that
piece.
Stars Paul Strolley, and he also wrote it. I worked with him as well on that script, and he likes to tell everybody how many times I had him rewrite it for a 12-page script. It was somewhere in the area of 30 different revisions. So, Carrie, if you can imagine going on
a feature
length, what she had to endure with me. But it took us a while to get all the nuance, and then as we finally got into the final days and got our final location and we had our actors and everybody together, we did another rewrite to make it very specific for the people that we had.
Was it hard to find the right actors?
I would say that I thought it was going to be a lot harder than it was. A lot of that can be pinned towards Jamie Rudofsky, who was our casting director.
I know Jamie.
She really pulled in. She knew what we needed. You know, I talked to her about it. And main reason why Mindy's sitting here and Paige, she really sort of had the core group together. It was just a question of me sort of sorting out who worked and who didn't, mm-hmm. and making sure they looked like a family, felt like a family when we were going through it.
Mm-hmm. So on the road of film festivals, do you go? Does the cast go, or is it just your sound series?
I've been trying to get everybody to go. So obviously, you know, we're low budget indie, don't have a lot of money to send everybody. But for our premiere, we had as many people come out as we could. So a little bit from us, a little bit out of their own pockets, and luckily, as a group, my wife and Paul, myself, everyone seems to be very supportive of our efforts, right? Mm-hmm. So they love the film, you know, that they're in. So yes, Heartland, we had almost everybody come out for the exception, I think, of Joe Coy, mm-hmm. from the cast, at least.
Right. And where's that held, that festival?
Heartland is in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was our world premiere, and there was a fantastic film festival.
It's mm-hmm. a great town, too. Indianapolis is a fun town.
And then we followed that up with Hawaii International Film Festival.
A little different view.
A little different view. We had a couple more people, Mindy, and came. Carrie
she volunteered for that trip, huh? Sure, I'll go to Hawaii. As a work duty, of course.
It was in Hawaii.
It was in Hawaii, and then Joe Coy actually made it to that one as well, because it was in conjunction. He was having a big, one of his big shows was actually in Honolulu that same week, so he came and supported the film as well then. So.
Good coincidence and great happening. Yeah. That's awesome.
Who was it? You just said?
Joe Coy.
Okay. He had an event of his own there.
It seems to just dovetail, the timing worked out. He was there already for something else.
There's something that's unique about the Method Fest, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
So they are, I think they've had a little bit of they've been absent from the festival mm-hmm. area for a while. They're starting back up. What they really do is they really concentrate on films that are specific to actors, acting, mm-hmm. and those performances, right? So mm-hmm. they're not so much about the action films, et cetera. They really want to see films that have content and performances that are worth watching. And so we're very happy to be selected for that one.
Is it difficult to be selected?
I think almost any film festival is difficult, but I'm not on the other side of that
right
now. I would hope that they would say, it was really hard to select your film. But for us, I think that, you know, in terms of that piece, in terms of the acting and fulfilling it from an independent standpoint, that's a very hard thing to achieve, to get that recognition.
Well, I know the work getting into these festivals is you know, takes a lot of energy and time. And we have a great friend, Hoyt Richards, who is a former high fashion, well, really one of the first male models in the fashion industry that became a superstar male model mm-hmm. on the level of his contemporary female partners.
It's good work if you can find
Cindy
it.
Cindy Crawford.
Male supermodel.
Cindy Crawford, et cetera. And he still today works. That's not where he's driven. He's driven as a filmmaker and as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he has won some staggering number of awards mm-hmm. for the films that he's produced in these festivals, so something like 30 to 40 best of the festival, and then best actor because he puts himself in his movies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he is on a, you know, glorious train ride right now. He's just done a beautiful commercial with... goodness, they're huge movie star. Mm. Julia, it's for her perfume. Julia?
When you come up with it, you got to email me because now I'm going to wonder about it all day long.
She has a movie out right now. It's a big movie. That
if it's not me, I kind of don't know.
It's about
so
her,
if I'm not in it, yeah.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, wow,
Julia
that's
Roberts.
Great.
Oh,
my
cool.
is the you know, the perfume
does
commercial.
Is it Dior?
I think so.
Maybe.
And then he is the mystery man at this particular mm-hmm. event that is where this is all unfolding.
Hoyt's talked extensively about how difficult the festival circuit is and how you have to be so on point. You have to always be working. You have to be there. You have to answer the questions. You have to do the panels. And it's interesting to see how indie filmmaking is really more about perseverance than it is even doing the film, because so few films get finished that to make it to a festival, you have to polish it up, but you also have to find the right festival for your film. Mm-hmm. You have to continue that kind of research, and you have to continue the relationship so people know you're out there.
Yeah, you really have to know. I mean, from that standpoint, right? The big lessons I've learned is you have to know what makes your film interesting.
That's right.
And you have to really market those things from the very beginning. Why would your film festival find this film interesting? Mm-hmm. What are the things that are going to be meaningful to you for you to be able to take our film and rep it as well?
That's right.
And so I'd be a little. We also do have, just real quick, we have Sedona International Film Festival.
Yeah, cool.
It's next week. And my wife and I are Chen, and I will be there for that. And then following that, the week after is Omaha.
Wow.
And then towards the end, like he has mentioned, towards the end of the month is Method Fest. So we have a little good run that's been happening for the film.
That's great.
And if they love it in Omaha, you should be
on your way. Right? Well, Indiana was the big one, right? So, I mean, that's if they like you there, they're going to go.
Oh, great piece.
Okay. Right.
Wow. You know, we've never given Cyrus or
let's do.
Mindy.
Shall we do it?
Yes.
Who do you want to start with here and tell people about these amazing performers?
I think Mindy.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Originally, our guest, Mindy Crist, was originally from Detroit. Our next, she grew up in Marin County, however, that's in California, and graduated from the UCLA School of Theater and Film. Her extensive film and television credits include Criminal Minds, The Major Crimes, The Time Machine, Night Shift, Bones, The Mentalist, 6 Feet Under, House, NYPD Blue, and Grey's Anatomy.
That's right. Most recently, of course, she has appeared in The Rookie, Animal Kingdom, and upcoming spinoffs of Suits, Person, and she is, of course, now, is that Pearson? Pearson is a TV show, is that right?
That's the spinoff of Suits, yeah.
Because I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard great things about that. It's apparently getting some really good feedback so far, which is cool.
I don't think it's aired yet, but, yeah.
Well, and of course, you play the role of Molly in Wake. Now, obviously, your television credits are extensive, and I love the shows that you've been on, certainly 6 Feet Under. I mean, that was a pivotal show. And how we do modern television, but indie film is different. You know, it's a challenge to get right because you're working under very different circumstances. What do you have to adapt your process like to do an indie film versus network television?
Oh, I think you have to adapt your process way more for television than you do for indie film.
Okay.
The only thing with indie film is you don't have time, but you don't really have time in television anyway. You're on a clock,
right?
And time is money. Sarah will know if I stop and said, "Can we talk about this?" Like, no, that's costing you money. But you get the freedom. You get freedom, and there's something to be said for that kind of creative dialogue with the people that you're working with, and that kind of canvas. That is just yours. There's nobody else writing
that can
on
be
it,
a
but
death
the people
note.
That you're
doing. That can be a problem as well, right? That kind of freedom, because so many films don't finish the work they started because of that freedom, right? To lock in and kind of say, listen, I've got to find performers who can do this in a different atmosphere. We're going to go work in a funeral home. Doesn't sound like a real good pitch for me,
wow.
You know, for an actor. You got to find the right person, right?
You got to be a pro.
You got to show up.
And you got to, know your lines, and you got to do your stuff. So it's not a way of, being off the hook.
You have to keep yourself healthy, right? Because, I mean, think about that.
Hours a day.
It's a big thing. I've always found that people who work in indie film, and I think our buddy Hoyt Richards, and I'll bet this is true for you too, are the most locked in professionals you can find because I've got to do this, and the returns may not be immediate. I've got to look further ahead in my career. I've got to be kind of present in the moment while still being very flexible and open to change. And that's a tough thing to do. Yeah.
That's so funny because that stuff, I feel like.
To you, that's old hat.
I just feel like that's what performers should do, and they should be game for that.
They
should show up with some excitement that you get to do that and some appetite for it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're showing up for a bunch of people who are working just as hard as you are.
That's right.
And they're working out long hours and not seeing their family and not having a lot of fun and sleeping 4 hours a night and stressed out. And, so you got to put your best foot forward and be one of a team.
I heard a stat the other day that said 30% of independent films that finish principal photography don't have a final product made.
Is that
Can you imagine that? It's 30% do get made. 70% don't finish their project all the way. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
So that's a lot of money that's been put out and that sort of thing. You're right. It would be great if every performer did that. But finishing this work, particularly a work of this quality, but finishing any independent film is really a tough thing to do. So get out there and support these at these festivals that are coming out. And if you have a film festival in your town, like if you're in Indianapolis or you're in Omaha, you can say, hey, I want to go out and take my kids out to see some of these pictures. Some of the films have kids, kid-appropriate films. But more than anything, the atmosphere. Just when you're walking around, you get to see the marketing materials. You get to kind of understand the industry, which I love.
You get to understand how people make it and how it's people that make it.
That's not
glossy. It doesn't, often what you see in billboards just seems unattainable and so strange. Who makes those? Where are they? They're in some high castle. It's people getting down and dirty and showing up and making stuff happen.
That's so right, Mindy. That's
exactly
right.
Within the mentality of these film festivals, could you're appealing to motion picture companies that would release this, right? You're looking to get this released. Would that include network television at all?
Not really. I mean, it really depends on the channel, I guess, right? I mean, not ABC, CBS's of the world. I don't see us going on that, but
something like
Stranger Things have happened.
I mean,
but streaming for sure.
Yeah,
though this isn't the I don't think this channel would gravitate toward this movie. I don't know, but you know, something like the Hallmark Channel, because they turn
those
out 53 movies a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, you know, Lifetime, Hallmark, they're all targets where we eventually would like to end up.
Right? This is a little heavier than their typical love stories.
But,
that they
the
do.
Backstory is, but there's nothing in this that's. You know, I've thought about taking my own kid, who's 10, to come and see. I was like, yeah, I can.
There's very few.
I'm all right with it.
I think, you know, the streaming platforms are really kind of where we're gravitating towards. And I think, you know, between Jamie and Joe and just the wonderful performances that are in there, I think we've got, you know, hopefully a good shot at.
Oh, definitely.
And streaming is the way to go now. There's no doubt about that. It's such a popular thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know any doubt about that, but I think basically the idea is to get your film seen by as many people as possible.
It's true. Right? It's true.
And you know, that's one of the biggest things that I want to have for this film, because you know, you talked about earlier about, you know, why would people come and do this, right?
Yeah.
What are the benefits to it? You know, as a director, you get to do the directorly things, but the biggest thing is you got to remember is that, especially in independent film, people aren't coming there because you're paying them a lot of money.
Yeah.
You need to have other reasons, right? So stewardship of their character.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No
the ability doubt. For them to actually have input into it. These are all things that you have to worry about. So, and the biggest thing at the end of the day is, hey, if I put this time in, are people going to see my performance? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once the film is done, as a director, you're still stewarding that ship too. How do I make sure that all the effort and work from all these people who made things easier for me financially to get mm-hmm. this thing done, see the benefit of actually it being seen
exactly.
by the world?
Sure.
And I will say, you know, it is a strangely family-friendly movie.
It is.
Set in a...
It
know,
is.
With a bleak background, but
operative
it
word
is
strange.
Weirdly
It's probably the most fun, enjoyable, romantic film about a woman and a funeral home who doesn't like to go outside.
It's definitely in the top two.
Upbeat.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but you know what? It's because of that huge twist.
Yes.
It does make it. You really are happy at the end.
Yep.
I think. You know, from whatever, however you want to look at it, because I'm not going to say what happens.
I think too that's a nod to you, Sirius, for striking a tone with the material that's very difficult to strike.
Yeah,
thank you.
Hard to do.
And take it from someone like Sirius Maricourt, who certainly has a lot of credits behind him. Three of his short films, Gratitude and Resonance of Love and The Beating, as he talked about earlier, were accepted into numerous film festivals around the world and have garnered several awards and nominations. Wake is his first feature film, as we said earlier, and enjoyed its premiere recently in 2018 at the Heartland Film Festival. So he's doing some good work out there.
And am I correct, you got your master's in documentary filmmaking from George Washington University, is that correct?
I need to be very specific. Certification.
Certification. Master's certification in documentary film from George Washington. And obviously, I mean, and then of course you went to the UCLA Extension Program as well, didn't
you? Correct.
So tell me, kind of, as you're digging into the world of independent filmmaking, which is a world that takes a lot of digging, as we all know. I mean, this is not an easy thing to do. And obviously, when we talk about streaming platforms and all this sort of things, we're talking about artists who are pursuing work. And if you want to find the best of the best, you've got to go to those kind of platforms, because it takes a while to make it to another platform. And if you start in the streaming world and you get hits there, because it is hard to find sometimes, you know you got something special.
Right.
The Beating did that. There's no doubt about it. It had a ton of views. Tell me what you learned kind of in your education that showed you more the stuff maybe we don't have such a glitzy light on. What are some of the things that you learned to help you with funding and with marketing and those sort of things that make these films work?
Wow. So I think, you know, my road to that is a little different than I can just spit it out and say, here's what you do.
Right. Let me give you the answers, kids.
Yeah.
Here, I'll tell you how to do it. Buy my book.
Because fortunately, you know, how we were able to make this film is based on the other part of my life, which is, you know, working in IT in Silicon Valley area and having friends who've been successful there and willing to fund a feature film venture. But having said that, in previous efforts, and also partially for this one, really what you're looking at from getting your backers is it's all about working with people that know people that want to support those people, mm-hmm. especially in the independent area, right? So Paul Strolley is key. Getting the right people on board that everybody wants to sort of be involved in is always major, right? So getting Paul involved, especially with the early sort of fundraising efforts with the meeting, that was huge.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is to always really kind of be the person that people are going to trust, people expect to back, and for you to deliver. And
yeah.
If you do that, it makes it a lot easier to go do the next project.
Right. And showing you can finish a film is a huge thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I always give kudos to anybody, and I always withhold the judgment of, do I like this or not? If it's complete and you can sit through it, oh my God, you should give yourself so much congratulations from a filmmaking perspective.
We should take a moment, though. This is important, I believe, that we say this, because you've done everything the hard way except for one thing. You went out and married some of your talent, didn't you?
Yeah.
Found yourself a producer you could count on.
So let me actually back up. My secret sauce here is to gather everybody that's important in making a film, mm-hmm. and don't let go of them, right? So Victor Avila, I have to speak to him. He's the DP of the film and a really close friend.
Have you used him before?
He's done everything.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and he's one of the reasons why, Michael, the film looks so beautiful. He's just an amazing talent.
Nice.
Yeah. Paul Strolley, always my reliable
actor. Wait, he made Paul look beautiful?
He did.
That's some DP magic there, brother.
A lot of filtering.
And then, I made sure one of the most expensive resources in filmmaking is editing and post-production. And so I married my editor.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So that helps out with future.
The man has 19 wives, so he could pick which editor he wants for each film. That's pretty brilliant. And how many films have you two worked on together?
So we started on, three. So Gratitude, my very first one, she was, I think, an assistant editor at that one. And then The Beating, she edited, and she also assistant directed The Beating with Paul. And then in this one, she was executive producer and editor.
So you guys survived a feature film together, and you're still married?
The marriage survived.
You guys can get through anything. Don't worry about anything else.
And we enjoyed the process, and we can't wait to do the next one.
That's great. She edited on set.
Wow.
We were doing all the independent
films. Almost real time.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool.
Even the film makes it more special.
That's right. The film we're talking about is Wake, W-A-K-E, and you can find out more at www.wakethemovie.com.
We thank you so much for coming. We have a little bit more of the program left, but not much.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Okay, now these had better be good, because that's our entire budget for the year on that sound effect.
Yes.
No kidding. It's all I've got. That's all I've got. Now, the reason we do this is just to let young filmmakers or young performers or young theater goers know that sometimes something goes horribly wrong and you can get through it and the show does go on. And getting through those things is what really makes being in the arts such an important thing. Either of you have a moment that comes to mind? Either of you have one about Paul you want to tell me? I would love that.
I'll start before we go to other people. I actually did finally hit, and I was complaining because I knew this was coming, and I was like, my mind automatically erases everything embarrassing I do, so it's very hard for me to pull it back up. But I do remember actually shooting on The Beating. We were shooting; it was a very bright, sunny day. And I was looking in the monitor, and everything was just really dark. And I was like, this monitor, there is something really wrong with it. And the camera assistants there look at me and say, okay, well, let me try. And so they spent all this time building a large flag and something set up. And I go underneath it, and it's still really dark. And so they're like, well, let me try and adjust the monitor for you. And so they turn the monitor up, brightness and everything, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And then I realized I had my sunglasses on. And they were too nice to embarrass me.
They saw it.
To tell me, look, dummy, take your glasses off, and maybe it won't
That's
be so
fantastic.
Dark.
So that's now, you said at the beginning, you said you weren't sure you could come up with them. That's one of my favorites. That's okay. a fantastic embarrassing moment. How many times has that happened to a director?
It's funny. And it's funny. I mean, on set, everybody really tries to protect your ego.
Of course.
To the point of making you look really stupid.
So funny. Mindy, what you got for us?
Oh, God. Well, it might be right now, because I feel like I'm going to let you guys down. I feel like I embarrass myself and... a 10-minute basis.
Your embarrassing moment is you couldn't come up with an embarrassing moment. That's the most original
one.
So meta.
She's
very in the moment.
But I will say humiliating on this. I think the hardest thing I've ever had to do was do a scene where I had sex with a blow-up doll.
Really?
That was embarrassing.
First of all,
you didn't find that natural at all.
I didn't find it natural at all.
However, the
Even
doll
when
did.
I was at home practicing, it felt unnatural.
Made out with.
It's just even reading it, I was like, oh.
You should have asked her about her subtext. She clearly thought the relationship was more important than it was.
Yes.
That's a good one, because that's tough to do. How many people were on set that day?
Everybody.
That's so tough.
All
making out with a ball.
I didn't pull anybody back on that one.
No. Like, he did for live people.
Yes.
If I had to make out with live people, we had less people there, but not for blow up.
Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the film one more time is Wake. Check them out. Sedona coming up. Check them out at Omaha Film Festival and look for them at Method Fest. This is a great, great piece of art and a really wonderful crew and cast that's involved in it.
And we wish you the best of success in all of these festivals.
Thank you both for having us on.
No, thank you guys for coming, and a huge thanks to our buddy Paul Strolley, who we love.
Yes, Paul, thank you. You're the man.
Michael, as always, as the rain starts to fall here at our Sherman Oaks studio,
I know,
such a pleasure to sit across from you. Where will I see you next week?
Right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.